Thanks for tuning in to the Email Design Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And coming up on today's program, we're going to talk about the new launch of the AOL Alto Mail mobile app, get into email production survey that we're running, and talk about email mistakes, which we've all made. But Jason, how about I kick it off doing a little recap of the Inbox Love conference I went out to California.
Sounds good to me. I didn't get to go. You did. So let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I got to go to Inbox Love, which is a conference that focuses on email app developers, basically developers of different email apps. And it's not just related to email clients per se, it's just about email apps. But the very big thing is that all of the key players of the email clients were there. AOL, Google, you know, and Gmail, and Microsoft, and Outlook, and all the big players of the email world were there, sponsors for some. And it was cool to actually sort of get to interact with that whole other audience that is part of the email community, but it's not necessarily the email designers and marketers as we know it. It's actually the people building all this stuff behind the scenes. But the two big things I wanted to talk about from the conference is just the updates from Google and Microsoft. So Microsoft started, and they actually talked a lot about the success of Acompli, the app that they acquired and then turned into Outlook Mobile. And so they had a little keynote to start off the day, and they talked about their success and how they have 30 million active Outlook Mobile users just in 9 months and 1.2 billion monthly sessions. I think it's interesting because we actually haven't seen really a big uptick in Outlook Mobile for our litmus analytics stats and sort of the global market share. So I'm not sure how they're coming up with those numbers or their stats. We haven't seen as big of a jump or spike or increase in usage there, but they're claiming it's been a big thing. The one thing I think has been really concerning, though, they had a slide. It said Outlook and Office 365 will help lead the way. There was a bulleted list there, and one of the items was building new clients, which I don't know how email geeks will feel about that. I mean, does that sound like a smart thing to do, Jason, for us?
Not at all. We don't need any more.
I have to say, though, one of the realizations, I don't know why I'd never thought of it, but when I was there, I thought to myself, wow, maybe the best way to get great HTML and CSS support in email clients is do what Acompli did. Build your own email app and then get it acquired by the big player who then just in turn just folds it right into their, bake it right into their existing product, you know? And that's the only reason why Microsoft Outlook Mobile has great rendering is because Acompli did and they didn't change anything. So anyways, I thought that was an interesting idea. I'd never thought of it that way, but that could be something interesting maybe we see in the future. But the other big thing was just Gmail, and they gave a presentation sort of around their product process. And one of the things that I found interesting is they gave a slide sort of on their core priorities. And they mentioned how, you know, it's all about the user and putting the user first. And then they had a slide of sort of their core tenets. And the slide basically said security, privacy, speed, reliability, intelligence, and ease of use. So those weren't in any particular order at all, but I did get the sense just from all of my interactions out there that security is a really big component to Gmail. And they are just super focused on security. It's like ingrained in their culture and something that they just hold really close to their vest and everything that they, you know, sort of put their product decisions towards. And there was a Q&A section, and the first question that got asked was actually about image caching and why they're doing that and how it's impacted analytics. And then they pretty much, you know, said, well, it just comes back to the user, and they gave that blanketed answer. But then they automatically addressed up front without waiting for a question the whole responsive design thing. And they said, they basically said that there are trade-offs to supporting responsive design, and that they've heard from us about requests for it. So they said there's no promises if they do, if they are going to support it, but they said if they do support it, they want to do it right and nail it. So there isn't anything in the pipeline. If there was any hope from last year's conference of Inbox Love where they said responsive design was a priority, at least of the Inbox by Gmail team, there is no indication that it seems to be a massively important issue for them.
So that makes me sad. But what can you do, you know? I like that they have that strong focus on security for their users. That's what matters, is making your users happy. But I would love to see that kind of rendering taken care of, because that'll make a lot of users happy on top of just us developers, you know? And I feel like there's all these other email apps that can handle responsive design, and they're very secure in and of themselves. So what are these trade-offs that Gmail is so concerned about? Like, what are those actually consist of, and how come they can't fix that, whereas other email clients can?
Yeah, that's what I always go back to. Like, it's a solved problem, right? Like, other people have done it, figured out. It's not like we're asking them to do something that hasn't been done before.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's where it just really irks me. An interesting thing that came out of it, though, they did say that if they do end up supporting responsive design, they would eliminate the whole mobile friendly view that they have, where they automatically resize your fonts at the moment and basically mess with your code out of the box. They said they would get rid of that, and there wouldn't be a need for that if they supported responsive design. They would just tell people it's up to you if you want to do that. So it seems like it may be in discussion, and they may be thinking about it, but it's not something that they seem ultimately committed to, unfortunately. But at least there is a possibility of the mobile-friendly view going away, which is pretty good. So that's Outlook and Gmail. I have more compassion for Outlook. I feel like Microsoft is just a bit more disorganized, and there's just a bit more chaos with all those products. And they've actually shown, even through some of our own personal interactions, an effort to try to start to make Outlook a bit better. Not that I'm any more hopeful about Outlook than Gmail per se, but they've shown more of an effort. Whether they can organizationally get it together, who knows? But Gmail is just like it's one thing, right? If they're able to just update it, Gmail's good to go. You know, Outlook we're going to have to deal with for years to come, even if they update it. So that was the interesting thing, is that it doesn't seem like there's going to be any immediate changes, but I think it's important for our community, the email design and marketing community, to interact with that developer community, because it's only until we can start having a dialogue and a conversation that we can start to sort of fix and move towards solutions for the problems that we face. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I think you made the point too. You were updating the Litmus team via chat when you were there out in California. And you mentioned it was just kind of surprising what a different audience that crowd is, because we come from that world of designer, marketer, and it's a very visual kind of design oriented field, but they're the developers, they're the ones making these decisions with the product, and they don't come from that same world or that background. So we need those lines of communication open so that we can kind of educate each other about all these different problems and come up with solutions to those problems together. So yeah, it's a very good point.
Yeah, so I recommend everybody check out inboxlove.com and definitely look to attending next year. I think it'd be important for our community to have a little bit of a presence in interaction there. But the other big thing that came out of Inbox Love, probably the biggest news just from the email client space, is that AOL launched their brand new app, Alto, for mobile app. Alto was a webmail a few years ago that they launched and kind of fizzled out, but they've taken that brand name and now have reintroduced it as their mobile experience. So just sort of the key highlights out of the box on the AOL Alto mail app is that it supports any email account. So if you have a Gmail account, an Outlook account, you can throw all your accounts under the umbrella of Alto, and it will handle all your mail there, which is really nice, a great way to sort of onboard users and getting them to use the product. They have this, what they call stacks. So it's basically a way to separate your emails. So you can take a look at your files all in one place, your photos all in one place. It just sort of separates things out for stacks. They have cards, very similar to Highlights and Inbox by Gmail. And honestly, this is a very similar app in terms of the user experience to Inbox by Gmail. A lot of inspiration was taken from it, and I think that's maybe even putting it lightly to a certain extent. The one interesting thing that was a little bit unique was they did have this dashboard area, which kind of gives you an overview of what may be happening for that day for any cards that you may have. So like if you have flights or whatnot, you could just go to your dashboard information, see it all there, maybe weather or whatnot. So that was an interesting thing that I noticed. That is an interesting concept. But in terms of the big news that what we're worried about in terms of email developers is it doesn't support responsive email. Mm-hmm. So no media query support. And I was a bit shocked, Jason. We have another email app that doesn't support responsive design.
Which is very annoying. I'll be curious to see what the kind of uptake on using this app actually is. So right now it's brand new, so it's not really something we have to worry about too much, but testing it, see what your emails look like. But if it starts gaining that market share, then that's one more frustrating client to deal with.
Yeah, and let me say how this could possibly be a good thing for us. The AOL team who was there, and they were actually very nice, let me interact and play with the apps on Android and iOS, which still isn't released yet. They were great letting me to take screenshots, and we have the blog post up about this on the blog, all the rendering stuff. But they told me that was a bug and that it should not have been that way. Now, you can take that with a grain of salt as an email designer and developer. You've probably heard this a million times and, you know, are just probably thinking, oh, this just might be done to appease us. But Marcel, who's the product manager, has actually even been active on Twitter with us. So you can go follow him at WaterCant with a K. So not a C. It's WaterCant, K-A-N-T with K. And he's been interacting with us and letting us know that they're actively fixing it. And I even talked to another member on the team who asked for examples of where it was breaking and why it wasn't working. And so they actually seem actively interested. Mm-hmm. And it could be good. I think it could actually be a good thing if it showed that they didn't support responsive design. And then let's just say a month later or two, they then support it. Mm-hmm. How bad that makes Gmail look.
And yeah, absolutely.
How much pressure it's like, hey guys, Yahoo fixed a media query bug a few months ago after we posted the forum on it. Like it only took them a few weeks. Now we tell AOL about it and it only takes them like a month or two. Like what's going on? You know, it could really put that pressure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to see that happen. And I like that the developers are, kind of outgoing. And the same thing with Yahoo, you know, they fixed something after we brought it up and the email design community brought it to their attention. So it's awesome to hear them, interacting more. And it's that same thing, like the inbox love stuff. We need to work together and fix all of this stuff. So if they do, that's awesome. Hopefully they will. And hopefully Gmail take notice and do something. I don't expect them to at this point. My days of hoping are pretty much done at this point, but what can you do?
The other things about the Alto mobile apps, so they automatically block images by default. And they actually have like a really big UI component to where it's like this massive block section and like half the height of the email you see on the screen. And it'll say, do you want to show images or always show images to sender? So it's a big thing for AOL just to sort of be aware of. They also, actually another thing too, that's weird in terms of the responsive design. I forgot to mention this. If the images are smaller than like the width of the viewport, it doesn't scale that with the email. So like the email gets scaled because it doesn't support responsive design. But if you have images that are actually smaller, it doesn't scale those. So it kind of looks out of proportion. So if you have like a logo, for instance, which we showed as an example on the blog that we had, the logo looks way bigger compared to everything else. So at the moment, it's just something to sort of be aware about. Another interesting feature, though, very interesting, they have a new sort of interaction in the inbox where it's pinch to zoom for more pre-header text. So if you're right in the inbox and you just sort of pinch to expand and to zoom, it will display more lines of pre-header text right in the inbox, which I found fascinating. So it'll be a lot more pre-header text, probably more akin. I wasn't able to test out actual character counts, but probably closer to an iPhone 6 Plus where it's like a tweet's worth of copy right in the pre-header text that's visible. So I thought that's an interesting behavior that maybe email marketers could use to their advantage somehow. And they also have the blue links issue as well. So things like addresses and dates that automatically blue links, but I wasn't able to find a fix there.
Yeah.
You know, iOS has a simple fix that you can use. We'll have to figure something else out for the Alto Mail app. Mm-hmm. And interactive elements are not supported. So those are just sort of the key elements there to the Alto Mail app. Big news, no responsive, which is a bummer. But like I said, I think there's a possibility it could be a really good thing for us and make Gmail look bad all in the same process.
Which would be awesome.
It would be. All right. We just want to take a minute to let you guys know everything we've been talking about here, all of the past episodes of the podcast. Just go over to emaildesignpodcast.com to check it out. All the show notes and links and everything, it's all right there. No need to worry about it. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. Leave some nice reviews on iTunes for us as well. And tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast for all of the Twitter action. All right, Jason, let's get into probably really awesome news for us that we're excited to share about the brand new Litmus.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple weeks ago, we relaunched the Litmus software product. So a lot of people have taken notice of this. It's huge news for us. It's something that's been in the works for a really long time. A lot of people working really hard behind the scenes to make Litmus a lot better for everybody. And that kind of takes the form of reworking how people actually interact with Litmus. And we changed up that kind of workflow with working with the Litmus product to make it better and make it far more interactive, far more helpful for email marketers and email designers. Especially the biggest thing I love is that we've made Builder a bigger part of Litmus and a far faster way to build your emails right in Litmus. So Builder, if you're familiar with it, it was our free code editor for email designers. So it allowed you to kick off tests to Litmus, and it was great. But we've sped up the email previews so fast that we've integrated that into Builder. So you get these instant previews as you're coding an email. So every time you save your email, your code right in Builder, then you can see these instant previews pop up. Actual email client previews, same things you'll get when you run what's now called checklist in Litmus. So it's this amazingly iterative way to build email designs, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's right there in Litmus now. Everybody can use it. Along with that, we've updated the kind of traditional workflow of just sending a test email to Litmus and getting your email previews, made it a lot more robust with this idea of the checklist, where you can send your email. And not only does it do email previews now, but it runs through a whole host of different tests for that email to give you a real kind of a whole overview of your email, subject line, coding considerations, email previews, spam filters. All of that stuff is built right into checklist. So it's a lot more powerful tool for checking out your email and whether or not it's going to not only render everywhere, but a whole host of other tests to make sure that your email is that much better and it's that much safer to send. So there's a lot of work that went into the interface, a brand new interface. There's a new dashboard where you can see a lot of different information right off the bat. But it's an awesome, awesome improvement too. I mean, we're obviously biased and we think it's a great product, but I think this version of Litmus is absolutely amazing. So yeah, launched a little bit ago. We've been getting tons of good feedback. We've been using it ourselves and loved every minute of it.
It is so damn fast,
yeah,
to test your email now. It is literally the fastest testing experience ever created. I know we're employees, but I'm not exaggerating at all. Like, we use Litmus in our day-to-day jobs, mm-hmm, here, Jason, and it has made our lives so much easier.
Absolutely.
And Obviously, I use Builder all the time, so I'm definitely a little bit more biased there. But Builder is so fast now. It is unreal. It takes just seconds for a screenshot to return. You hit save, and you fire off a test in 40 different email clients now, and it just, mm-hmm, it comes back. It really feels like it's right at your fingertips.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like that combined with our grid view. I love the grid view. Like, I didn't use Dreamweaver for the longest time, but that we have that grid view in Builder and combined with instant previews, that's like the ultimate Dreamweaver killer. It makes it so much easier to build stuff.
Yeah, and I like to say, you know, before it almost felt like, to a certain extent, email designers and developers felt a little bit powerless. Like, oh, you had to wait minutes for a test to come through. And you just felt like you weren't in control of the process. And now it just feels like you own the process instead of the process owning you, you know, like you control everything. So Builder, if you aren't using Builder now, I guarantee you are wasting years off of your life. Yeah. Like if that's not a part of your workflow, even if you're not actually building the actual email, but just testing and troubleshooting, you're wasting years off of your life. And then checklist. I mean, checklist is great to really eradicate the fear, that fear of pressing the send button. Making sure it's kind of like, you know how we always say you should never send an email without, or you should never send an email alone. Like you should always be having somebody there to double check. This is like having that buddy there for you to check and make sure everything's good to go without needing a person. It's a more reliable person, right? And that's always been the mission of Litmus, is to help increase your confidence when it comes time to send your email, right? And that's what's in line with checklist, which is really cool.
Yeah, so yeah, we're thrilled to have it out there, and it's we've gotten tons of great feedback from people. A few problems, obviously. There's always going to be problems with software.
Well, it's good to check it out now because there's no bugs. There are very few left. We worked out a lot of the kinks, so it's a great time to go check it out now if you haven't.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely check it out. Use Builder. You can have code snippets. You can have your instant previews. It's easy to navigate emails. It's awesome. So yeah, we've been using it every day and couldn't be happier with it.
Yeah. So just check out litmus.com/hello to sign up for a free account now, Litmus. We actually have a free limited account. So if you don't have one, check that out. Otherwise, log in and test away.
All right, cool. Another thing we're doing at Litmus is what's called the email production survey. So we'll throw up a link in the show notes, but we have a pretty thorough survey to try to get a handle on the kind of landscape in a modern email marketer's workflow. So it asks tons of questions. It takes a little while to get through, and it's not too long. We've already had a ton of great responses, but asks you all kinds of stuff about your job, your daily activities, what tools you use, all that kind of stuff to get this really comprehensive look at how people are actually building and sending emails today. So we definitely encourage you guys to check it out and fill it out if you can. Doesn't take too long, and we'll definitely publish our results in a little bit and kind of give everybody this great information about what the modern email marketer and designer's workflow is actually like.
Yeah, I mean, this is really to help benefit the entire email design, development, and marketing community. You know, we're able to share what we're doing, what our workflow and process looks like, and then compare that to the rest of the industry. So you can see, oh, how much of the industry is using responsive design in their workflow? Or are they using like a mobile aware approach? Or how many people are on a team? What's your salary? What are people getting paid? It's really to help inform us to do our jobs better, to use it as sort of a leveraging point internally for stakeholders and getting buy-in to do certain things. I think it's really something that I really want everybody to participate in, this because it's going to benefit the entire community, not definitely you, but the entire community at large. So that's what I'm excited about, is nobody's done anything like this before. And kudos to Chad, our research director, for spearheading this and getting this going, because I think it's such a fantastic idea. But yeah, it'll be like an annual report on sort of the state of email workflow and process, essentially.
Yeah, that's what I really like, is that nobody's ever really done a survey like this for email designers and marketers. And it's like one of those things that's just kind of more and more legitimizing our field and kind of making it feel more like a craft or more like something people really care about and love, and giving us all insights into the process of others, which is always a huge win. Cool. Yeah. Finally, though, I guess this is a pretty Litmus heavy show, but we'll keep going with the theme here. We held our most recent community contest. It was a little bit different. It was back in October. It was a little bit different from past ones. Previous community contests asked people to design something, code something, gave you a little challenge. But this month, well, October, we wanted to ask people about their biggest email mistakes and what lessons they learned from it. So this was awesome. I think this was the most commented on community contest we've had so far. Tons of great stories about people, all of their little screw-ups, their big screw-ups, just the worst day you could possibly imagine as an email marketer. And I love that everybody's so willing to share this stuff. So our winner was Bex over in the UK. She had this great day. It was like the ultimate email day from hell. It was one mistake after another, which happens. I know it's happened to all of us. I mean, I've sent from bad email addresses. I've sent to wrong lists. I've sent at the wrong time, you know, the bad links, all that good stuff. This was great to see people actually share their stories openly, kind of just gets that bond going between email designers, email marketers, and kind of lets you know that you're not alone, even when you have those terrible mistakes, when you feel like, you know, the world's going to end. But yeah, there's tons of great stories over there. You know, the contest is closed right now, but we'd love to hear your story still. So comment away and we can all kind of commiserate together.
What do you think has been your worst email marketing mistake, Jason, that you've ever made?
Oh, I actually commented in here. The biggest one was I used to work for an agency and we sent emails for an automotive maker in Detroit. And so they were split up to like different regions of various sizes, but it was the wrong list at the wrong time. It was I was supposed to be sending a test campaign to the stakeholders, but instead of doing that, I send it to the actual production list. So it was, I don't think it was a huge list. It was something where like 15 to 20,000 people got an email, well before they should have, but everybody was pretty understanding about it. The good thing is I was pretty, thorough in my testing internally. So everything was right on it. So they just kind of chalked it up to an early send, you know, but yeah, I remember that like 30 seconds after I sent it, realizing what had happened, and my stomach just dropped and I had that walk of shame over to my boss's office. But he was pretty cool about it. We called the stakeholders and they understood and basically said, don't let it happen again, you know? But it seems like from other people's stories, that's a pretty common occurrence. So I think more and more people are trying to get some sort of better QA process in line and make sure all their lists are where they should be, and developing those kind of checklists to make sure that everything goes smoothly. What was yours, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had like that terrible day or like this one massive mistake. But the way that I got started into email was I was a web designer at my last company and doing web stuff and got stuck doing email. And it wasn't just one bad thing, but you have to understand when you just give somebody who does web stuff and has never done anything with email mm-hmm. before ever in their life, they just don't understand the rules of email, like
yeah, absolutely.
The basics. So I'm talking like not including an address in your email and just sending illegal email and mm-hmm. things like that. So I went and, you know, that would just go ongoing on a regular basis and even set up transactional emails like that and whatnot. So I wouldn't say it wasn't any one bad thing, but just doing
a string like, of bad practices,
just a string, a terrible string of bad practices, giving like, you know, a 22-year-old the ropes on just implementing yeah. email. And, you know, I was just figuring out, oh, you can't inline CSS. Like, you know, all this stuff was foreign to me. So I wouldn't say it was one bad day. It was just dumb rookie mistakes that you wouldn't know because I didn't have anybody to learn from.
Yeah,
and yeah. It's not like it was an issue until people complained about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much, I would say, my bad experience. I mean, we've had a couple of good stories here at Litmus
yeah.
as to what's gone wrong that we've blogged about. You know, when we did the Twitter feed email, our ESP accidentally mangled the code when switching from, you know, the preview to the WYSIWYG without mm-hmm. us even knowing. We sent the test and the test looked good, but then when we sent the email, it didn't look good, and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. I would say that's been a much bigger like scale that's impacted more people. And so that was an interesting story that we blogged about as well. But yeah, we have a whole guide up that we produced about how to handle this, right? Going over, should you send an apology email and all the different sort of approaches and practices mm-hmm. you might take in that scenario. Cause I like the question or the statement that was sort of made is it's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's
going to
make,
everybody's going to make a mistake like this. Yeah. Yeah. The good thing though is email. So like I always say subscribers have the shortest memories, you know? So you might have that mistake and then next week you're going to send another email and nobody really cares that much unless it's just some monumental, wildly offensive email yeah. that you send out to people you shouldn't, you know? But yeah, we did the report. It's the How to Recover from Email Marketing Mistakes report. Again, we'll put the link in the show notes, but it has this really cool kind of framework for how to handle these different situations. And I think my favorite takeaway from that, though, is that I feel far too often when these little mistakes go wrong, like a typo or some more minor people kind of jump to the conclusion that they should send an apology email or some sort of correction, you know, when a lot of email mistakes don't really warrant that, like it's blowing it out of proportion. So I like that kind of tip too. Be patient and, you know, go on with your day.
Actually, just real quick before we sign off, probably one of my favorite stories related to that here at Litmus. We had one of our ESPs accidentally, without us doing anything, accidentally send old A-B test emails back to the list and send both versions to the list. So there was this one day we had where we sent, I think, it was a ridiculous amount of email.
Yeah.
It was like over 100,000 or whatever, old emails to subscribers. And
it's just like, are you guys getting this email? Are you guys getting this email? What's going on? Yeah.
It was just a flood of all these old emails, and not just, it wasn't getting sent to different people. Like the same people were getting like 10 emails from us in a span of a few hours that day. And it was just a total breakdown of the system. But it was kind of surprising because not that many people complain.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because it's a real testament of how your strategy of email is and how good your content is. A lot of people were like, wow, I totally missed this webinar. Can you send us the link to the recording? Or this is a great ebook. Like it's still relevant now. So, you know, it was interesting how people still love the stuff. And
yeah, ultimately, it was a huge kind of terrible day. Everybody's just like freaking out about this. But in the long run, we got good blog posts out of it and more traffic and good feedback.
More signups,
all kinds of good stuff. Yeah. So. It's one of those mistakes that seemed terrible at the beginning, but worked out pretty well.
Yeah. It's a true test to see how much your subscribers actually love you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Email Design Podcast. Reminder, check out emaildesignpodcast.com for all the past episodes and all of the show notes, links, everything we discussed there. Subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. And tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. And check out litmus.com/hello. Check out the new Litmus. Sign up. It's a free account there. Get you started. And it's so fast now. Going to save you years. Before it was like, oh yeah, it's going to save you hours and hours and hours. It's like years and years and years.
I feel like if we would have had this years ago, both of us would have still had our hair. But that's not the case.
Maybe. It's possible. We'll work on that next. But all right, email geeks, until next time, reminding you, keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line.